Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
I'm going to speak today about awareness and helping people to change behavior. So this is a concept I've been using for a number of years now, possibly over a decade, and it's worked beautifully almost all the time. Not always, almost always. So everything has its pros and cons, has its applicableness, its appropriateness, and sometimes it just doesn't work. So you've got to be gentle with it, but you've also got to give it a go. So this is what I want to talk to you about in terms of helping children. And whenever I talk about helping children, I'm also talking about helping ourselves or friends, but helping children to move from one set of behaviors to another set of behaviors. I want to start off by saying it is about awareness. I cannot change what I'm not aware of. If I constantly clear my throat all the time, or when I'm recording this podcast, I'm constantly saying, or perhaps there's a word you hear me say often. Well, if I don't know I'm saying it often, it's very hard for me to be aware of it. Well, I'm not aware of it. And then very hard for me to stop. So it starts with awareness, but it's a little bit more complicated than that, especially when you're dealing with children or loved ones, because we don't actually want to be aware. We don't want people to point things out to us and ask us to change because it is hard. So there's some ground rules I want to add. First of all, this whole thing I'm going to talk about has got nothing to do with shaming somebody, and it's got nothing to do with a reward system or a punishment system. It's purely a way to bring awareness so that change can happen. But in the process, you're going to have to be really aware yourself and safeguard against those things, those shaming, discipline, punishment, reward type of behaviors, because it's not about that. It's about bringing gentle presence to something that we're doing so that we can control it and change it. Because change, lasting change, only happens from the inside out. It cannot happen from the outside in. It just doesn't last. Lasting change happens from inside out. So what we do at school is we might find, let's say a child is, they're going to the bathroom a lot, and you want to bring their awareness to this. You don't want to call out in public, hey, you're going to the bathroom a lot. Are you going again? With, you know, some kind of tone in your voice, because that is shaming. Now, I'm not against the whole idea of shame. If we feel shame, if we naturally feel shame, it can be a big driver. It can also be very detrimental. So we need to be careful about how people feel their own shame. But that's very different, feeling shame of ourselves versus being shamed. And one thing that a teacher can absolutely never, ever do is shame a child. It cannot be placed on them. It is massively detrimental to the child, to the learning, to the process, to everything. That is something it's an absolute no-no. However, when a child feels their own shame, an internal driver, that's a natural feeling. But we need to teach children how to manage that feeling. When it comes up for them, what do? Do they internalize it and label themselves and start saying, I am so, or I am such a? That is very, very detrimental. So as they start feeling this awareness of what they're doing and that it's not a good thing, that it's impacting their learning, perhaps they are being rude often in class, and you're starting to bring their awareness to that, they're going to start feeling like they're doing something wrong, ashamed of themselves. That's where you're going to need to be really masterful at this process. So let me take you through this a bit more. The steps of this is you notice something in a child, your own child as a parent, or someone in your class as a teacher. You notice that something that they do is getting in their way of learning. It could be that they say, this is too hard, before they've even tried. It could be that they look out the window every time you start explaining something. All of that is out of their awareness, which means it's automatic behavior. We cannot change what is automatic. Daniel Kahneman's book, Thinking Fast and Slow, he spoke about System 1 and System 2, and that Benil speaks about it as well, the automatic system versus the deliberate thinking system. The automatic system is the thing that we do without thinking. It's out of our awareness. We do it automatically. We when we talk, we look down, we look away, we rush off to the bathroom every time we're worried, we interrupt people, and we're not even aware that we're doing it. So this is sitting in the realm of, I don't even know that I'm doing it. It's the unknown. It's elusive to us. So if we're trying to help somebody, we want to bring their awareness to it, and it has to be so gentle. It has to be quite fun and light, perhaps. It needs to be kind and caring. You need to be watching their response when you are highlighting it for them, because you never want them to feel ashamed to the point where they shut down and they internalize. They need to hopefully have a sense of, huh, I'm doing this. So you want to build in, you want a role model for them as well, and you want to teach them a skill of reflection without shame. Huh, I see that you might be right. That every time there's a lesson, I listen to the first few minutes and then I look out the window. Or every time you give me a task to do, I don't try first, I ask for help first. So these are behaviors that sometimes are completely out of a child's awareness. So you notice this, right? And you're thinking, okay, you only want to change one thing at a time. You absolutely don't want to change more than one thing at a time. Just one little, and hopefully a little thing. So let's use the example of the child asks for help before they even try. And you can berate them for it, and then that's shaming a child, and we never want to do that. So you want to kind of find your opportunity. And then you might want to sidle up next to them, sit down and say, you're asking for help. I've noticed that you haven't tried yet. Can you give it a try? I'm going to sit right next to you. Just give it a try. And if you go, oh, no, I can't. I don't know what you're saying. Oh, well, you just heard me explain this. I want you to picture me up. Where was I standing? What am I wearing? What color pen was I using? Picture me explaining it. What was I writing on the board? So you're trying to, you engaging their memory, which is a really powerful thing to do. Engaging their visual memory, their auditory memory as well, perhaps their kinesthetic memory. What was I wearing? Where was I moving? What were you doing? Trying to elicit that. If they can't get back to the memory, no problem. Let me teach it again to you. Are you paying attention? Yep. Okay, great. Now that I've taught it again, or now that you've remembered what I said, give it a try. I don't mind if you get it wrong. Just give it a try. Let's say they give it a try. Well done, you gave it a try. So can I help you a bit more? Okay, you move on with helping them. The next time they put up their hand to ask for help before they've even tried, you might say, I've noticed that this is the second time now you've asked for help before trying. Can you remember the lesson I gave you? Can you try? So what you're doing is you're slowly bringing awareness to the behavior that they're doing, but you're not calling the behavior out in isolation to a solution. Then you can start pulling yourself away from them a little bit, where you just go, don't ask me yet, try first, and you're actually standing quite far away from them. Then you want to, let's say you can get that right, then the next step is they might start catching themselves as they put up their hand and they're about to ask a question. You just look at them and they go, never mind, I'm going to try first. Right, so now we're kind of moving the measure down the line. So now they went from being completely unaware that they do it to safe awareness, but they're still doing it, to, okay, I'm being called out, but I still feel safe because I've got the skills and I've got another option, to the next step of, I'm actually catching myself in mid-question. The next step is they catch themselves as their hand goes up, you look at them, they put their hand down, they try. And then the goal is to get them to the point where they have actually changed behavior. So before they even put up their hand, internally they might want to, and they go, nope, I'm stopping myself, I'm going to try first. And you get them, eventually the solution, the goal is they have changed behavior. They try first before asking for help. So that's a really good example of bringing awareness to somebody and shifting their behavior. Awareness without building the skill and shifting the behavior is just punishment or reward. And that's not interesting. That doesn't do anything. That just shames somebody. It's like calling, they got out the pool and you say, you're wet. Yes, I know. Now what? It doesn't promote any skill development. It doesn't push them down the line. It doesn't develop them anymore. So awareness is key to change. From a shameless awareness makes change possible. And the development of skill is what actually solidifies the change and actually changes the behavior completely and probably forever. And it moves detrimental behavior that sits in an unconscious state, an automatic state. It moves it into conscious thinking, non-automatic state. You skill up the child and then you move them back, a skilled child back into an automatic state where they're doing the new behavior automatically. And this is the change process. The other thing we use, the other process or method we use is just simple highlights. So it might not be a big behavior change that we want. We just want to bring awareness to they're always negative. Again, we're not shaming a child. We're just going, oh my goodness, that wasn't so kind. Can we say it differently? Okay, now they're more aware. Now we might want to do a tally system of awareness so they can see just how often they do this. Oh, and that is so uncomfortable. Just imagine that. Imagine you think you only do it once a day, and then you start tracking it and you realize you do it 20 times a day. Or you think you do it once or twice in a conversation. You interrupt once or twice in a conversation, and suddenly your awareness is brought to you that you actually interrupt all day long. You can only change that behavior when you become aware of it. I was recently told that I use the word remarkable a lot. I'm aware now whenever I say the word remarkable. And while I'm not trying to necessarily get rid of the word, I'm just now aware of how often I really do use the word. And maybe I can use different words because I've decided to change, not because anybody else wanted me to change. So the change process starts with this very gentle, have you noticed? Can I be here with you? Can I give you another way to do this? Can we do it together? Can you do it on yourself by yourself while I'm right here? Can you do it and I'll be back in a moment? Can you do it without me? And this is how we build skill, like making your bed and tidying your room and washing the dishes. It starts with, I'm doing it, come do it with me. We can change your behavior. Let me teach you the skill. Don't worry, we're still doing it together. And then can you do it for a little bit? I'm coming back. Oh, great, thank you. You've got the skill. And it's built into your child. And it's how we make them independent. It's how we build ability and agency and capacity. And while it might take a lot longer for bigger behaviors, and it might take a lot longer for a child that's struggling with learning difficulties or cognitive delays, processing difficulties, it's still worth it. Because ultimately, we are raising children to be adults, and we want those adults, their adult self, to have all these skills in place. So it is very, very worth it. I hope it makes sense. I hope I'm explaining it well. It's our approach. And it doesn't always work. It's not always appropriate. But sometimes it is spot on, and we are changing lives. I hope you've enjoyed this one.